originally, when the idea for this year began, I was told that it would be a form, some kind of Parsha Shir, and that seemed like a topical opportunity, which is great and awesome. But then this past week, we, as the Jewish people, we experienced a series of losses, and different people experienced those differently. But for me, this past week had a very personal and meaningful and difficult impact with the loss of Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, Zecher Tzadok V'Kadosh L'Vracha. And so when I was communicating this week with Joel, it seemed to me that even though it is almost Shabbos, it's Thursday night, originally it was going to be something on the Parsha, but I felt that in light of what we are experiencing as a Jewish community with the loss of this singular personality, it would be worth taking a few moments to reflect on what this means or what it can mean for us. For me, it's somebody who was a Rebbe and a Rebbe, a friend and a mentor, even though he was somebody who I never personally met. But through his teachings, his writings, some of you are familiar that he has authored over 80 books. He has YouTube videos that you can watch, lectures, Divrei Torah that are on TorahWeb.org. You could just do a Google search. That impact, that broad impact that it had on me personally, on my development, has been immeasurable. And so on the one hand, I feel so connected. On the other hand, it's obvious, and you know, you don't know me well, but if you knew me well, you would know that I am completely and wholly unqualified to speak about such a larger-than-life person. So I'm not capable of being maspid, and that was part of the question that Joel asked, is this going to be a hesped? It's not. I'm not capable of that. And a person who, God forbid, is mitz'asel behetzvedo shel chacham, the Gemara says that a person has to be careful and punctilious about recognizing and appreciating greatness. So a person who doesn't live up to that standard is not worthy of speaking. So I'm not worthy of speaking. That's not what tonight is. But it's tonight is to learn a couple of nekudas, a couple of thoughts that hopefully will inspire us, that will illuminate our lives to continue on the lessons and the legacy that I have been blown away and transformed by, and hopefully will hopefully impact you in a beautiful way as well. And I'm going to reflect on a duality, a pair. On the one hand, Rabbi Twersky was a Rebbe. He was the Hornesteipler Rebbe. He was the grandson. He was, first of all, the great-great-grandson of the Maor Einayim of the Holy Chernobyl Rebbe. His great-grandfather was Reb Mordechai Reb Motl Chernobler. His father was the Hornesteipler Rebbe. His maternal grandfather was the Halig Abubava Rebbe. So he came from the most elite and exclusive and outstanding Hasidic lineage that you could possibly script. And he grew up, and before he was even 30 years old, he was already the assistant rabbi in his father's shul in Beis Yehuda in Milwaukee, which is just down the road from us, about 90 miles. I've been there. And on the other hand, he wasn't just a Hasidic Rebbe, he was a medical doctor. And it's interesting, for those who are inclined, there's a website called the Svarim Blog, and they have an article now written by Rabbi Dr. Eddie Reichman, together with Menachem Butler, on the Rebbe's letters, the medical ethics letters that Rav Dr. Twersky exchanged with the Stipler Rav in Israel. And there are also awesome photographs, for those who have not seen them, of the portrait of this young Hasidic Jew in Marquette in medical school from Life magazine from the 1950s. I saw these a couple of years ago, and then Menachem Butler put them, I think they're in that article. If not, I'm happy to email them to you afterwards. They are astonishing. The contrast, by the way, of the black beard and the white coat. Because, you know, I've also been to Marquette. It's in downtown Milwaukee. And this is where he enrolled with the blessing of the Stipler to go into the field of psychiatry, studying an entire summer so that he wouldn't have to miss He wouldn't have to take any time away from Shabbos or Yom Tov, which he wasn't obviously prepared to do, so that he could complete all of his coursework in advance, even though he said he missed being in the lectures very much and he wanted to be there. Here is a man who synthesized the world of Chassidus and the world of mental health. On the mental health side, he went for his, I forget whether it was residency or fellowship, to a hospital in Pittsburgh, where he settled, and with a group of nuns, a Catholic nunnery established Gateways, which became a premier psychiatric center hospital with over 300 beds. And over the course of his decades in Gateways, he treated over 40,000 patients with, Rachmana Litzlan, lo aleinu, some of the most difficult ailments, illnesses, and challenges that one could ever imagine. You know, substance abuse, addictions, severe, severe mental health issues. So how do we reconcile these? How did one man, one human being, put these two together and create a legacy of both Chassidus and mental health, which come together in so many of the works that he taught? So these two parts of his personality that he modeled for us perhaps reflect two major themes that come across in his writings. The first is one that he himself spoke about and mentioned many times, that even though he wrote over 80 books, and I think the time that he first said this, he had written 60 books, but he would tell you, if you asked him how many books he wrote, he said multiple times, Rabbi Trump just gave you the echad. He only wrote one book. Because his whole yesod over many, many books, and I have several of them, but not anything near 80, he spoke about self-esteem. And he spoke about his own struggle with self-esteem, which you could imagine on the outside, looking at someone of that level of accomplishment, is hard to believe. And yet he describes his own struggle with self-esteem, how he went at a certain point early in his career to relax for a few minutes in Hot Springs, Arkansas, in a mineral bath, and he couldn't take it. He couldn't sit for 20 minutes by himself because he wasn't comfortable in his own skin. He wasn't happy with himself. And so he writes so much about and talks about and lectures about and gives us chizuk and direction in addressing the challenge of self-esteem. And the Yetzer Hara, what he calls a Yetzer Hara, a pernicious Yetzer Hara that undermines a person's self-esteem, that tells us that we are unworthy, that we're incapable, that distorts our sense of self. He defines self-esteem as, quote, a true and accurate awareness of one's skills, capabilities, and limitations. So this is one major Torah that Rabbi Dr. Twersky, or people called him Rav Shia, the great, inimitable figure, this is one of his big, big Torahs. Another major focus of his life and his work and his discussions and his teachings is happiness. And you can imagine this in dealing with mental health and people's orientation toward life. And he spoke many times to groups of people in recovery, people facing all kinds of challenges, talking about happiness and the relationship between happiness and spirituality. So one place where you'll find this developed is in this small work that he wrote years ago called Happiness and the Human Spirit. And he talks about the relationship between spirituality and happiness. And happiness having nothing to do with material possessions, but rather with a spiritual orientation on life. He tells an unbelievable maisa here of a woman by the name of Nora, who was 8 months sober, because you know Nebuch, many of the people he dealt with struggled with alcoholism, lo aleinu. And if a person, anybody who knows someone who's struggling with this, we need to be mechazik them and get them the assistance, the medical intervention that they need, because it's an illness, an ailment. So this woman, Nora, she was 8 months sober, and she was beginning to put her life back together, Baruch Hashem, thanks to this new sobriety. She was going to school, and she found her son was going to school, she found a job, and she found an apartment, and she thought she might even be able to save enough money to get her car fixed. So he says to her, so what's wrong with your car? She says, well, it's a klein ezach, you know, it's a small thing. The reverse gear doesn't work. It doesn't go in reverse. So he says to her, how can you drive without reverse. He says, she says, it's okay. She didn't, I don't think she was Jewish. She didn't speak Yiddish. She says, Machen Machen, you can imagine she was saying Yiddish. It's okay. You have to plan it out. So you have to park in a way that you don't have to back up to get out of your parking spot. And she says, I have to remember where I was and the people who I was with, Lo Aleinu, at that time in my dark place. Many people didn't have a car and they don't have any car to drive. So I have a car. He says, if I could have dug a hole in the ground, I would have jumped in. He says, I came into the office. I was so irritable. I had such a hard day and I couldn't deal with everything. And I have this woman who's telling me she's so happy because she has a car that doesn't go in reverse. He says, happiness is not what you have. Happiness is about a spiritual orientation to life. And he goes on to talk about spiritual happiness in other ways that she had in her life and the role of spirituality as it's correlated with happiness. And perhaps these two nekudos, these two sides, the issue of self-esteem and the issue of spirituality and happiness are rooted in the same nekuda. Because the source of self-esteem, what Rabbi Twersky wants us to understand, is within, not without. The accurate sense of our own awareness, our skills, our abilities, our limitations, is understanding our true self. Being in touch with our inner essence and being comfortable with that, being okay with that, the beautiful things about ourselves and our limitations and our imperfections, which is difficult to do. It's a life's work to nurture self-esteem. But that deep inner place in which we are at peace, where we find our connection, where we find our nekuda panimis, that's actually our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that spirituality. And by the way, he discusses in one of his works the difference between religion and spirituality. You know, a person could be quote unquote very religious, but not be spiritual at all. And that religiosity will not translate into happiness or self-esteem. But the true spirituality, which is supposed to suffuse our entire religious life, comes from an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that realness, that presence of the spark of godliness, which is unique to me, which gives me my distinction. It makes me who I am. It should be a source of pride for me. And that gives me a healthy sense of self-awareness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me here and gave me this set of abilities and these kochos and these challenges, and he believes in me and he's supporting me. And nurturing that also gives me a sense of happiness and spirituality. That shared nekuda that combines perhaps these two sides, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, perhaps is exactly the fusion, the point of not just intersection, but of synthesis between Rabbi Twersky, the Rebbe, Rav Avraham Yeshua, and the Dr. Twersky, the medical director, the Hasidus, and the mental health coming together around the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the awareness of the imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. It's not that there was the two parts of his personality that happened to live together in one person. They shared his personality, because that's very much what Chassidus is about. You know, the founder of Chassidus, the Heilige Rebbe Yisrael, Baal Shem, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, in the Kesser Shem Tov, he points out the concept of Melo Chol Ha'aretz Kavodo means that I'll translate it for you, the Creator is found in every act of physical movement. It is impossible to make any motion or utter any word without the power of the Creator. That is the meaning of the whole earth is full of His glory. Ein Od Milvado. Rav Nachman Mibreslov in Likutei Maharan emphasizes this. Meloch Ha'aretz Kavodo, this the great, unique Chassidic master, the grandson of the Baal Shem, Leis Asar Ponemine, quotes in the Tikkun HaZohar, there is no place that is absent of God. And so says Rav Nachman, that means God is in Rome. What is Rome? Rome is a place that's full of challenges and difficulties and the Colosseum. And you'll excuse me, it's a place of sin and prostitution and thievery and corruption. And yet, God is there too in the imperfect, damaged parts. God is everywhere. The Degel Machne Ephraim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is imminent. God is even found in the difficulty and even in the evil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melo Chol Ha'aretz Kavodo. God is everywhere. And this becomes a very important theme in the teachings of the Tanya, of the Bala Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shneur Zalman of Liadi, who emphasizes this idea of imminence. Because even though it's of course true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Soveiv Kol Almin, he is transcendent, he is beyond. But in Chassidus, we emphasize that he's Mamale Kol Almin. He fills all of the world, and that means he fills my world, our world. And that's the emphasis. The emphasis is, even if we're imperfect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills my world. He's part of my life. At every stage, when I'm up and when I'm down, when I'm awake and when I'm asleep, when I'm with my children or my parents, my grandchildren or my friends, or I'm alone, the Ribbono Shel Olam is with me, is inside of me. He is what is innervating my life. And if that's the nekuda of the self-esteem and the spirituality, and that brings so much happiness to our life, it explains a lot about Chassidus and explains a lot about what Rabbi Dr. Twersky gave us. He gave us so many stories. You know, here is a beautiful book. I know this presentation could be many, many hours, but we're going to be Mekatzah, so I'll just give Mar Makomos. This is a beautiful book of Hasidic stories called Not Just Stories. But by the way, it's not just this one book. Most of his books are replete with Maislach, with stories. Why does he tell so many stories? Because stories bring concepts to life. And if Chassidus is about bringing the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to life so that it nurtures our self-esteem, it fuels our spirituality and gives us happiness and meaning, so stories are such an important vehicle. Stories teach us so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, is a living God. We converse with him. We talk to him in the forest or in our car when we're driving. And that becomes a real sense of who we are. It makes God imminent, not with an I, with an A, imminence. The Mamale Kol Almin, we fill our lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talk to him. We don't just rattle off words. We talk to Ribbono Shel Olam, and that fills our life with him. Amazing Maisla about him that he actually told over when he was a little kid growing up in Milwaukee. He went to public school. I think Chvesi was 9 years old, and his teacher put him in the Christmas play. What are you going to do? Is the public school? He went to the Christmas play. So a couple of weeks later, his mother goes to parent-teacher conferences to meet with the teacher. And the teacher's a shtickle embarrassed. She feels bad. She says, you know, I'm a little embarrassed. Maybe I feel bad. Maybe I shouldn't. I think I was probably wrong to put little Abe. And that's what they used to call him in the other world, in the psychiatry world. Abe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Heiliger. He said, maybe I shouldn't have put him. But she said, the teacher said that when Mrs. Twersky came, she said she just wanted to ask, was my son uncomfortable because he's pretty short? And she didn't want him to feel bad about being very short in the line of kids standing in the Christmas play. So the teacher says to her, Mrs. Twersky, I was so uncomfortable. I felt so bad. You're going to come here. And I put your son in the Christmas play. And you know what she said? She said, ma'am, if what we have given him at home is not enough to overcome being in a Christmas play, then we have failed at home. Because what a warm Hasidic home is about, and he writes a lot and talks a lot about his parents, is the imminence, the palpable existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with that close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that feeling of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's okay. I'm not saying we should put our 10-year-old children or grandchildren in Christmas plays today. But in that time, that's what it was. But the nekuda is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is palpable. He is Ein Od Melvado in a real sense in our lives. So stories bring that out in a palpable sense that we can connect with. That's number one. Number two, Chassidus and the Torah of Baal Shem emphasizes how each man, each woman, every human being, each one of us, can build a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why so many of the Maislach and so many of the Torahlach are about the common man, are about the simple tailor who is Meyachad Yehudim because he is simple faith, his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pure. Because that presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in everyone's life. Yes, there is an emphasis on the tzaddik, but as Elie Wiesel writes in one of his interesting books, Elie Wiesel was big in Chassidus, and is a tremendous amount to give insight about Chassidus. So Elie Wiesel talks about how it's a little bit of a paradox, because in many areas of Chassidus, we look to the Rebbe and the tzaddik, but in many areas of Chassidus, they say, who needs a tzaddik? You have your own connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the everyman. Each one of us, whatever station we are. And in that respect, that teaching of the Talmid of Baal Shem to recognize and realize the value of every individual, even if they are maybe in a difficult spot in their particular journey. Maybe they're on a low spiritual level, but they too have something to teach us. They too have something valuable. Maybe it's teaching us what it means to pray by whistling to God because they don't know the words. Maybe that's why this man who synthesized these two elements, the elements of Chassidus and the elements of mental health, brought these, was able to reach the every man, even the people who are mamish, completely and totally shattered and broken. Because Chassidus tells us that life in the imminence, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not it's not relegated or in the domain of only the intellectual elite or some kind of spiritual aristocratic class. Every one of us, even in our lowest points, even in our, God forbid, our points of depression, whether it's a capital D, Lachmana Litzlan, Lo Aleinu, or a lowercase d, when we all feel that. But Rabbi Twersky says in Chassidus, we never give up on a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Od Milvado, the Or Panimi, that exists in every human being, even if they come to a person's door, even if they're totally shattered. And finally, a third element here that brings these two worlds together, the world of Chassidus and the world of mental health, the world of self-esteem and the world of spirituality and happiness, is that in addition to the role of stories that Rabbi Twersky, Dr. Twersky gave us, the emphasis on the everyman and the insistence on healing and focusing on every individual, it's the notion of hope. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has a great ha'ara where he points out that hope is different than optimism. Optimism means things will get better. I'm sure it's going to get better. You know what? We've been in many situations where there's no place for optimism because things, they sometimes don't get better. Hope is something else. Hope, Rabbi Sacks points out, is that they can get better and that we are invited to lean into this process, to be part of the journey, because through our actions, they could get better. It's not necessarily that they will, but we have the opportunity to pick ourselves up and own our destiny, to create repair. And that even when we fall down, we could pick ourselves right back up. Because there's always the potential for repair. Hope is ever present. Isn't that one of the great teachings of Chassidus? Of Tzipisa? Of looking forward? Of finding the kernel, the nekuda of tov that we can strive for, even if we might be in a little bit of a rut, even if we might be in a difficult place. The eternal hope that somebody, they could come back, they could turn their life around. It's one of the great messages of encouragement of Chassidus, not to abandon, not to give up. That's what there's an Chassidus expression. You know, the Gemara says above Metzia, we teach this to children usually. When they're starting to learn Gemara, they learn Eila Metzias. There's a concept of the Gemara called Yia Shalomidas. If a person loses an object, but they weren't aware that they lost it, do we say that because they weren't aware, and had they been aware, they would have despaired from that object? So we say, is that Yia Shalomidas? Is it Havi Yish or Lo Havi Yish? Right? There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. So you know what Chassidim say? They say, Yish Shalomidas. A person who despairs, that's out of their mind. That's not knowledge. That's not das. Because if a person believes that Ein Od Milvado, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a deep part of myself, and that he's given me these challenges, but also the ability to make something of my life, that I have limitations, that I have that I have a nature that is sometimes challenging, that I have proclivities that take me in a different direction than I want to, but I always come back to filling my potential, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there together with me. Gam Kelech Begeit Salmovis Lo Yeraki Ata Imadi Ata, with second person, you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is filling my life. Then we should never despair. We can't despair. And so for Rabbi Twersky, it meant never giving up on his patients, being there for them, even if they fell down and then pick themselves back up again. Fall down, pick back up again. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. One of the great inspirations, one of the great words of chizuk that the Baal Shem HaKadosh and his Talmidim and his disciples and followers give us. The hope, meaning the opportunity to get up and try again, and to believe in ourselves that we are worthy of the Ribbono Shel Olam's love on a given day, even when we've messed it up, even when we find ourselves in the depths of Rome. And so there are so many ways that we can apply these in our own lives. The role that we can apply in terms of stories, reading the stories and telling stories, telling them to our friends and children. One of the things I'm thinking about for tomorrow night for our Shabbos Suda is to tell our children at our table one of the stories from Rabbi Twersky. The role of the everyman, to look at other people and whatever station they are in life and whatever they're up to, and realize that they have a Tzelem Elokim, they have an Ein Od Milvado, they have Mamale Kol Almin also. Whether it's the gas station attendant, or the person who you encounter in the supermarket, or somebody who you know, as a coworker who you have a chance encounter with, they also are Mamale Kol Almin. And if they're broken, they're worthy of healing also. And finally, the idea of hope. The idea that even when we fall down, we can always pick ourselves up back up. And that Rabbi Twersky is telling us that it's okay. You know, maybe you were sober for 6 months and you fell off the wagon, but you can pick yourself right back up. I'm going to conclude with one thing. I don't know if this is usual on a Thursday night, but I felt that it's only appropriate to conclude with this for tonight. I encourage you, if you have a moment, to watch just a few moments of the Levaya. It's available online. And it's so, so poignant, especially as you learn more about who this man was and what he meant to tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of children, of young people, of people who are aspiring, of people who were broken. What was his Levaya? Apparently, and I watched this on a video, which I could send you if you'd like also, almost 60 years ago, he was davening for the Yamad one day before his younger brother's Sheva Brachas. And, you know, he was saying Hodu, and he came across the words Hoshia Samecha. And he was also not only a rabbi and a medical doctor, and he was also a Baal Menagin. So he came up with a niggin. And he sang this niggin at his brother Sheva Brachas, and this niggin became well known. And we're going to close tonight with this niggin. I'm going to invite you to sing it at home. And when you watch the Levaya, you will see that he asked that instead of Hespedim, everyone who comes to Levaya, and it was late at night, and they're carrying the Aron, which in Eretz Yisrael, as you know, is just a talus wrapping over the kli for 90 years that held this holy neshama in this world. He said, no Hespedim, just sing this niggin. The words of this niggin are Hoshia Samecha, save your people, Uvarech es nachlasecha, and bless your portion, Ureim v'nasim ada olam, raise them up, pick them up, Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Rabbi Twersky, what Dr. Twersky, that's all he wanted, is that Ureim v'nasim ada olam, save people who are struggling with all their challenges, their anxieties, their depressions, their difficulties, their ghosts, the skeletons. Hoshia Samecha, save them. I've seen people who are so broken, but Ribbono Shel Olam, you're there. Ureim v'nasim, pick them up. Because that's the ultimate source of happiness, of self-esteem, of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how many of us know this niggin? I bet many of you do. How many of you knew, and I did not know until this past week, that it was his niggin? So please sing along with me at home while you're muted, because if you're unmuted, it becomes a big balagansky. But you could sing at home. No one's going to make fun of you. Hoshiyo es amecho, uvorech es nachlosecho, ayureim, ureim, 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 venavaseim, ureim, venaseim, ado oilom. How many of us grew up with this niggin on Simchas Torah? Hoshiyo es amecho, uvareches nachlosechovai ureim 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 venasim ureim venasim adoi lamayai hoshiyo esamecho uvareches nachlosechovai ureim 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 venasim ureim venasim adoi lam hoshiyo esamecho uvareches nachlosecho vayayay ureim 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 venavasem ureim venasem adovoy lom. Thank you all so much for coming. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Rabbi Trump. What a great schus. I wish you a beautiful Erev Shabbos, a good Shabbos. We should be zoche to get together soon. We could sing this niggun. We could hold hands. We should be in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. A good Erev Shabbos. Be well. Thank you all so much for coming.